I would like to call to order the Administrative Control Board meeting for Mount Regional Water. It is August 20th at 6 o'clock. Do we have any public input tonight?
We do not.
Okay. Do we need to go into executive session?
We do not.
Okay. Off to a good start. we have two sets of meeting notes. Has everyone reviewed the June 18th and the July 28th meeting minutes? Does anyone have any changes? Okay. And then we have a purchase order.
Yes, this is for Talcum Carbon to replace two of the four gap tanks up this fall. So we're doing an annual replacement, so the gap is in place for 2 years right now, is how we're managing it until the treatment plant expansion. So price held really good, so very happy with both.
Great.
And this is just media replacement, right?
Yeah. So look for one of these again next year.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions on the check register?
The items for like the fire PC fire vehicles, is that part of the intermodal contract
kicking
off?
Yep.
Okay. I just assume that. The impact for the water letter deposits, the refunds of 1500, what are those? They're all scattered through there. I guess they never noticed before.
When the customer comes in and pays their impact fee and pays for their meter, they also put a deposit of $1,500 down that they get back once we do final inspection and everything's up to Scott. And so it just...
So it's like completed connections, deposit back.
Deposit back.
Gotcha. Okay. Figured or something like that. The only other thing, the Lost Canyon Garage landscaping, was that part of the project scope?
Yeah, that was. And we still are looking good to come in under the budget on that. A year in, we had a budget of $200,000. We're about $148,000, and we just have to paper doors and a couple of things still.
Okay. Okay.
Asked the question before, but just wondering, the Smith and Parkinson, the water rights stuff, any insight on what you're working on, anything serious there?
So Jeff was able to find 69 acre feet that we hadn't had assigned anywhere. It's part of a Weber Basin contract that we've been paying for, but for some reason it got lost. The other thing is with the Old Ranch well, the people that live in Quarry Village are claiming interference with a new well, and so we're kind of hedging our bets and just talk to him about what steps we may or may not have to take to do that. So that was, you didn't see that. You will see that next month, but a lot of it is that. And so Jeff has been great trying to keep our water rights portfolio in the proper places, you know, going through all of the next month we'll see a bigger.
All right, I was wondering about that. I saw Sam's update on it. And that's the word on the street.
Yeah, but.
Drinking somebody's milkshake.
Yeah. But we have enough ice cream to overcome their
concerns. Yeah. Okay, cool. That was it. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions. It looks like we've got almost $3,000 worth of tuition for UVU. Is that
from my professional development?
And then we had Jessica going somewhere that had a $2,100 hotel for the ACF conference.
Yeah, so Jess went back and presented at the National Conference in Washington, D.C., in conjunction with Carollo. So, unfortunately, it was expensive to go and stay. That was just after Father's Day in June.
Said D.C.
Washington, D.C.
Okay, and then just kind of a question. It looks like we've got Jacobs Engineering on for asset management services. Are we going to have that every month, you think? Or Like it looked like there was a charge in June for $12,000 and then another one in July for about $7,000.
Yeah, there's no generally every month. There might be a month that's skipped just built for close.
So they're part of our asset management.
Yeah, it happened the last couple of years.
Okay. And then what is HAB type?
Well, harmful albumin.
Okay.
Just testing Signal Hill Lake. Yeah. We try to be proactive when temperatures go up. We just know it's enough source water.
Did we find any?
It's kind of a complicated answer, but no, essentially.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we're working on trying to develop better methods to test and be on that. But if it's emerging contaminant, we're not regulated. It's something we're doing kind of above the regulatory.
What would you do, detective?
Depending on what time of year, our main tool would be to use our gap contactors, polishing stuff. So, in the past, when we've had a confirmed event in the source water, we've been able to clean the gap, had nothing break through the treatment process. But yeah, if we're running the plant flat out, that changes how we can respond.
Is there stuff you can do in the front end and on itself?
We do in a sense that we have two, right, ultrasonic devices in the pond that
we every time three, but
solar panels, we've got spot, right? But outside of that, there's options. Algicide, you can add. It's like a pre-treatment step, but I'm sure there's a host of downsides that would come with that.
Degradation products.
Yeah, that's kind of a big job.
Mike, Corey, did you have any questions on the checks? Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Motion to approve the consent agenda as discussed.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that's unanimous. Steve, tell us how the financials are going.
We're a lot closer to the budget than we have historically been, let's say. So I feel good about that, but it's also a little bit different. So we are almost $900,000 better than budget through July. But as you can see, last year we were significantly better than budget. $540,000 comes from revenue being above budget and $350,000 of below budget on expenses. On the revenue side, as you'll see, the water sales, we are within 1% of budget. We take the average of the 3 years, apply the rate increase and things like that. But that's keeping us right on budget. So we haven't been that close to budget on water sales for quite a while. As we go deeper into this, you'll see that usage has kind of gone down from 2025, which the model would have kind of predicted. So I guess we're right there. Park City Wheeling's a little bit above. Development-related collections, we are doing okay on impact fees. Most of that positive variance, you'll see the $170,000 of the $189,000 positive variance is from impact fees. Still leaning heavily on that very large impact fee we got in Old Ranch. That's what's keeping us above budget. Other than that, we'd be like right there too. And then we're making some, still doing okay on interest earnings. As far as expenses, kind of the same story a little bit in that depreciation was our big increase from last year. If you break down and just look at actual cash operating expenses, we're about 4.86% above last year. So kind of expectation, 3-5% expense increase annually on that kind of stuff. Let's go down. Cash, you can see cash went up $910,000 during July. It was basically collection of June sales. We start to do our big cash infusion during the summer as we collect all the water sales. We still had a big Corolla check go out and the reimbursement part of the impact fee to go to Promontory. So those were our big expenditures during the month. All right. Customer growth. This is kind of an interesting one that we've now only at 51 new connection requests for the year. which is below the last 4 years. Impact fees are still, better than the last 3 years. Again, leaning heavily on that one very large one. And promontories about on their lot sales, about where they've been the last, a little bit above last year. But obviously, once 2022 drops off, we'll be closer to four-year averages. But kind of finding a new norm, it seems like, on growth. And then water usage.
What do you think will be at the end of the year?
On impact fees?
No, on total.
I think we'll be 75 or 80, right, which is below what I projected, but the average impact fee will be higher, so I think we'll be on budget for impact fees.
So just to confirm, that's people have paid impact fees?
Paid impact fees this year.
Right. But not gotten the meter, yeah. So we've got a steady flow of impact fees. Our applications coming in now. I mean, it's, I don't know, 4 or 5 a week kind of steady, that actually get through the whole process.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
We'll kind of usually have an end of summer, then it dies, and then we'll get some end of year people who will try to get their impact fee in for the end of the year.
So. A lot of it's weather driven too, like we get an early wet, begin to winter, people pull the plug and go for next year.
7 months for Aberdeen, 7 months. Yeah. So maybe we'll end up 80 to 90, but I think I thought we'd end up at like 120. They get to our impact fee budget. Revenue or usage wise, the key number, the 4-year averages, is still a little, excuse it a little bit, but let's just look at compared to last year. So last year, our customers used 1,333 acre feet, and this year only 1,240. So you can see there's been a pretty significant drop there. The golf course is back below, they were 542, they're 521. Park City is actually up from last year. They're taking a little bit more, we think, because some of their wells. So that's why they're taking a little more. And then obviously Summit Water, we're not sending them any water, so that helps.
What was the issue with their wells? Sorry.
I heard a couple of them died. I'm just waiting on repair.
Okay.
So we're running clean water.
Not permanent, just...
Mechanical issue, not water issue.
Fluke.
Yeah. And if you'll go down just a little bit, Chris... So if you look at, so the 403 in July was 4.1 higher than the 4-year average, but 12.3% lower than last year, and 14.9 higher than the 4-year average, but 7% lower than last year. So again, compared to last year, we are down. So that's good. There's a lot of rain in July, some conservation. We'll show that a little bit more. And then the graph. So as you recall, orange was budget. Blue is this year, purple was last year. So we definitely didn't have the crazy spike we had last year. We kind of had more of a moderate scope right into July there. So from what I've seen in August or what we're projecting, I think we'll probably kind of stay right below budget. I don't think we'll hit budget in August water spells. So that'll tighten that 1% even up a little bit more. All right.
So we'll be under the orange again.
Base is growing nicely. I mean, we're having people install meters, but usage is what moves the needle really in the summer. All right. What's next? Any questions on the financial summary?
Yep.
Okay. Let's go to the usage by tiers slide. So, again, this is just residential customers, but if you look at, again, last July versus this July, the only tier that was up was that 0 to 5,000 gallons. So that's kind of an indicator of growth. But every tier below beyond that was actually lower than last year. So we went from 112 million, almost 113 million gallons, down to 102 million gallons. So rain, conservation, whatever, there was definitely a decrease. You see that in the tiers too. Like a lot of people finished in these first, like didn't use more than 5,000 gallons or didn't use more than 20,000 gallons. And that highest tier, we dropped from 65 to just 50. And the next tier, we would drop from 51 to 27. All of those drops are just meaning that people aren't racing through the tiers and using a lot of water. So that impacts the revenue, obviously. Yeah. All right.
But that's kind of what we wanted, right?
It's kind of what we wanted. It's kind of what budget had planned. It just
we'd had a couple of years where it kept on growing and growing, and so it's kind of now we're getting a downturn in usage again. Let's see. And this is just what that means financially. We'd had the same usage year to date last year as we did this year, we'd be $600,000-$700,000 higher in revenue. All right, let's go to whatever's next on the parade then. Oh, usage by customer. Just wanted to show that it's really fairly consistent across the board. The golf course down 15%, large residential down 9%, residential down 16%, schools down 17% year over year. So it was across the board. It wasn't just residential saving. I mean, commercial was pretty close to what they were. So if you look on the very bottom, kind of those similar numbers, total cutting gallons down about 12%, residential gallons down about 10 to 11 from last July. Top 20 residential customers. We'll go to that first.
This is gallons as well.
This is gallons just in July. It doesn't quite show here. I think it's down a little lower. If you're yellow, that means you've been in May, June, July. So we have one customer in Red Hawk who's consistently in the top 20 customers, residential customers. If you're blue, you're a new entrant into this was your first month in the top 20. So you can see a couple of colonies pop up because they start watering more. You know, they're there. A couple of promontories pop up. If you're purple, that means you've been there for 2 months. So now even the people who are in here, like this customer who's in it consistently, they are still significantly below what they did last year. They're still in the top 20, but they are using less. All right.
Just out of curiosity, 2 months, is that consecutive or just any 2 months? In that?
It could have been May and July, or it could have been June and July. Let's go to, let's jump to this really quick. Ian, this was kind of to that impact fee question, how that would potentially help us. So I just wanted to kind of go over how we use impact fees. So at the beginning of 2021, we had $2.7 million. We got a lot of impact fees that year. We used some of it for debt, and then we used some of our projects, but we also weren't completing a lot of projects because it was COVID. Next year, so then you get to our new ending balance that moves up. Impact fees in 2022, we used a lot of that for debt because we weren't being able to finish projects. And then we started to use some on projects. Here, the Weber Basin Interconnect, the Summit Park Tank 1, treatment plant expansion, Brown Canyon betterment, and we've used some in Old Ranch Road. So what I was kind of trying to get at is once we don't have a lot of things in the IFFP, this money we're spending down here, I know I can use for debt.
And those are the numbers that were originally put into the impact eligible costs?
There's kind of an eligible portion, and then in our budget, we put that in. We're going to take that out of impact fees. We have a lot more.
So is that total cost, or that's just what came out of impact?
That's just what came out of impact fees. Or what we're going to use out of impact. If you go down a little bit, Chris, so right now we're sitting at about 4.7. The plan is to use about 1.4 to help pay for the interconnect, another $2 million on the treatment plant expansion, and another $719,000 on Old Ranch Well. This month, I've actually transferred $675,000 more to help with treatment plant, and another $250,000 to help with the Old Ranch Well. So
for like Glenwild Pump Station, was there only $66,331 that was eligible ever, or is there more that's eligible?
Sometimes there's more eligible, and we just depend on how the budget, if we can do it out of cash or whether we want to keep impact fees around. The way the state is doing impact fees now, you're more encouraged to spend those quickly because I have to track each impact fee to a project. This wasn't a really big project, and it might have only been like 30% available. I can't remember.
Yeah, and so where I'm going with this is, do we have that as a table of what has been eligible in the past and what went into impact fees through time for each of those categories?
I could put that together, but I don't have that.
Yeah, and I don't need it tonight, but that's kind of what I was interested in is like what has been impact fee eligible in the past.
And what have we used?
Isn't a lot of that showing in the state report?
It is in the state report. It's more in our capital budget reports where I didn't go back and say, or the IFFP.
Yeah,
like it could have taken 500,000 and maybe I didn't want to, I knew we had some big stuff coming up. So I only budgeted 350 because we had enough cash rolling over from the previous year to pay for part of it. Kind of thing is how that would have played. So I haven't always maxed out what was eligible.
Okay. It's a timing difference too. You may have projects in there and costs that you've incurred, but you might not collect enough impact fees in 1 year or multiple years in order to pay for that project. So it's a little bit of a give and take depending on what impact fees come in, and we do need to spend them within the 6 year window as well.
Yeah, I guess so, that's where I'm kind of interested. It's like that, here's the numbers that went into it, and this is how they were justified for the given project. And then we're kind of drawing that number down through time, but how is that being tracked? And like, I mean, I know you've got your eye on it, but like,
yeah,
it'd be interesting to have that insight of how that all works. I think it would help with some of those conversations we're going to have here shortly on the treatment plant.
Yeah.
But we don't need to go through it tonight.
Okay.
It'd be way better with actual
I'll put something together, a little more detailed about that. There won't be a whole lot left to track after this year because I'm going to get that balance down to about $500,000.
But I think even just like
what's happened historically.
What's in the impact fee right now, and how are we going to collect it?
Yeah,
and how are we going to use it?
Yeah.
Because it comes down to, I mean, as far as the treatment plant goes, how much of it is going to be paid through impact fees that we may collect, and how much of our current customers are going to have to support the impact fees.
And the importance that we got to get our new number in there for January or whatever.
And will we be able to collect enough impact fees to be able to use them? You know what I mean? Like, and not have to burden our current customers. I think that's
we're a nice place.
It comes out of that.
Okay. All right.
So how do we determine the debt number then? Is that just kind of whatever's left over, or is that kind of...
Usually what we've done is whatever we budgeted went to debt. Kind of thing as a default, because we still have the old 2019 debt, but that's basically what it's paying off. Now we'll have new debt, and that's where the new WIFIA will kind of take place. So that will call it be the debt line that we'll use to pay it down, or the direct replacement, whichever way we're going at it that way. All right, rate comparison. I threw in a new one, Chris. I don't know if it's...
Thanks for that, Steve.
Appreciate you bet.
A lot.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, and I'll get... Thanks for the clip more, and I'll get a little more detail for you.
I didn't give you a very good description last time, so yeah, apologies.
Chris, it's at the very... It's in the G drive. Sorry.
Well, I saw it, but it wasn't a PDF, so...
It's like a, it's a SNP tool. And I will give Andy credit for this one. He did a little AI search to help me with this. I went right to doing a spreadsheet because that's me. But he did find just some general, as I looked at these, they're not bad.
This is born out of our question last week.
Of your question of, so as you can see, Park City, I'm not sure quite who they're saying. Park City was cheaper if you're a 3/4 meter, and we'll get to that. We were kind of second, you know, and this was pretty close. It's a pretty broad range, as you will see. And then Aspenvale, Breckenridge, all of these are actually more expensive than us, especially as you kind of go through those. So we're right in the market for a mountain town. And then I did do a deeper dive into what your neighbors might say to you.
Let's just in the packet. This is interesting.
It wasn't in the packet. This had been done, and I forgot to, I didn't put it in the packet.
Oh, okay.
But then I got some feedback from my coworkers and thought that was a misstep by me to not include that in the packet. I apologize.
You can send it.
So these are the rates that everybody, Gorgoza's here, us, and Park City's kind of a little more complicated, so they have several lines, and then Summit Water. So you can see Park City's base is now $75 no matter what size meter or lot you are. The difference is if you're a small lot in Park City, you start to pay more for your usage sooner. If you're a medium-sized lot, you get a little bit more cheap water before you pay. So this is what came out of their new council last year. They wanted to help the large lots be able to use more water. So you can see that. Like if you owned a really big lot in Park City, you don't start paying $37.84 until you're up above 75,000 gallons. So what that means, Gorgoza is interesting because they have a very finite amount of water, it appears, because they're okay. They play ball with you till about here. And then if you start using too much, they get you. So in Gorgoza, you definitely don't want to use over 100,000 gallons or your bill's going to be huge.
Do you know if they have anyone in those tiers?
I don't know. I just can pull their rate sheets kind of thing. So real quick, if you are 5 to 10,000 gallons, we are basically the best deal in town unless you happen to be Summit Water and only own a half a share and happen to live in their lowest high elevation zone. You know, you get out to about 30,000 gallons a month, and we're still better than Park City, better than Gorgoza, and we're about the same as the big lots or the big share owners in Summit Water. What starts to happen, and then you, even at 70 or 80, you know, we're still cheap. What we really see is that we do have some room in here, where we would still be cheaper than Park City if we wanted to put some more in those early tiers, which sneak preview, when we do the rate increase, I think we've got to at least be even across all tiers or maybe even a little heavier weighted here because we're kind of seeing the vulnerability of counting on mess usage from the high tiers because we may not get that if it rains or if people are really concerned. But we'll talk about that future. I did want to highlight just one of the, with Summit Water, like conservation in the basin, let's say, you can see like, okay, everybody's being pretty responsible. If you're using 70,000 gallons, you're paying a pretty decent water bill, whether you're us, Park City, or Gorgoza. If you're with Summit Water Distribution, you don't. And that's why their customers continue. They don't have incentive to conserve water because of the way it's structured. Because it's they've quote unquote paid for that water. All they have to do is basically pay a high elevation charge. So it makes their water much cheaper. So we can't compete with Summit Water, but everybody else in the basin, we are, I would say, a better deal.
Because they paid for that water share.
Because they paid for that water share.
Right, which is most times.
I don't know.
And the share is a volume, right?
Yeah, it's like an acre foot,
low rate per se.
6 or 7 years ago, it was $25,000 an acre foot.
Is that a one-time purchase?
Yeah, but then you have to pay your water.
So I can't compare. It's hard to compare some water to us. But if you've got friends who live in Park City or Gorgoza, as long as they're a reasonable water user and you are, you're better off here.
But Park City should be higher because they just put in that super expensive plant. They're trying to claw some of that back, right? Like
they're clawing it back through charging Summit Water. They're really counting on the water they're selling to Summit Water to help with that debt.
That's the difficult thing about this is because Gorgoza and Summit Water are both mutual water companies. It's a little different. Park City's an independent municipality. We're a little different, so it's hard to compare us all as equals. We all deliver water, but how we get it, where we get it from, what kind of debt people have or don't have, all plays into that.
But this was a good exercise, definitely heading into a great increase in those discussions to kind of know where we stack up. So I thought that was good.
Yeah, good stuff.
All right. Am I still on or what's next?
Your cash.
Oh, yeah, just this is the... You get a cash update every month in my monthly report, but a state requirement is that I give you a more detailed six-month report. So at the end of June, this is all our cash. We had $425,000 at Zions Bank, almost $19,000 invested with the PTIF, and this with corporate trust. That's basically our escrow for the bonds. They turn around and invest it in the PTIF too, so it earns the same interest rate as those. Let's see, if there's not any questions, it's, you guys kind of know, everything's kind of stayed the same, the amount of reserves. Now, this will start to go down because this includes impact fees, and since I'm using a lot of those this year, that'll drop significantly, down a little bit more. I said, this is higher in June because at the end of December, we don't have a lot in escrow because we made all the big payments. So in June, it's still building towards the payments. And then obviously all our construction cash has been spent. We built the building. So, and at the very end, if you're a real geeky accountant, it shows you how many checks outstanding we have and deposits that are in transit, things like that, to get to the reconciliation. All right. Anything else? I can't remember.
There's a Signal Hill Water Treatment Plant Optimization Revenue Bond update.
Okay, yes. So we had that call that you were... The Gilmore Bell prepared the parameter resolution. It ended up being split. They wanted a standalone, so we explain, so it's a 20 million parameter resolution that we were only planning 15. So the five we didn't use from the previous one, we're rolling over to this one, but not immediately pulling that out with the direct placement. They asked us to explain what it would do to the impact of customers. So we've got a nice presentation that includes Sam's memo, the parameter resolution, and some slides. Goes into what it means to the ratepayer. And also, basically, it pushes a rate increase that we were going to delay to now and then flattens out later. So just the rate increase happens earlier because then the compounding effect gets us there. So August 20th, so next Wednesday, we go to get the parameter resolution. Then September 16th is the public hearing for the public to have any input, and then we'll continue on from there. So looking good. So, and I know today we've narrowed down who's going to be bidding, who qualified, let's say. So moving forward with getting the bids mid-October, I think, is the plan, something like that.
How many companies?
So we're in the middle still.
Yeah, so we probably shouldn't say anything.
Contractors, but we received a few. Seven for the general, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. We received five for electrical, because we're requiring electrical subs to pre-qualify separately.
Okay.
Good enough options.
Yep. No, it was a really good response.
Yeah.
I would agree.
All right.
Hey.
Just out of curiosity, I'll ask this later. I'm not sure I know how to frame it.
Okay.
Sam, would you like to give us a 2026 capital project mid-year update?
Yeah. Sorry, that didn't open before. It's coming.
So I used to go quarterly with these updates, but the spring update was not very exciting because there's not a lot of construction happening in January, February, generally. So I just kind of modified things. So we'll do a mid-year update and then like a preview and wrap up. And then try and put some more content to mix things up. So that's why I haven't seen one of these yet. I'm still using these same tiers to separate the project. It didn't matter too much. I generally just give an update every time I put one of these together. We've talked a lot about Signal Hill, and I think we already gave the update with the council presentation happening next week. Currently, we're in pre-qualification, like we just discussed, and we're wrapping up 100% of design right now. So it's kind of a new update since we last got together. The rest of the capital projects, we've had a bumpy year, to be honest. The Canyon's tank replacement was scheduled to be completed this year, and the bidding process went really well. We got an excellent contractor, I think maybe one of the best bids we could have gotten for the district, just for our size and project. Short time window, things of that nature. Got good pricing as well, and we were not able to navigate the permitting process quickly enough to complete the data. So, planning hurdle, delay the project. We submitted for a building permit in January, and we were allowed to go before the administrative law judge to ask for bids last month. So, that essentially doesn't allow us to get the steel bit tank fabricated, delivered, and installed before CC, because the tank is essentially located in a live ski room. So the plan is to do the site prep concrete work, mechanical plans this year to avoid any additional cost with delaying those. And then we'll erect the steel portion of the tank the following year.
We have added cost then because we're persistent in the next year with steel. And
yeah, I don't think steel's going to be cheaper next year, so there'll be additional costs with the steel portion of the project. And we're trying to get some feedback on what that looks like, but I think it'll be challenging. But hopefully put a number in helps you spot it for next year. So, lesson learned for me on that one. Yeah, I think I could handle the planning permit during the design portion. And we deliberately chose to have the contract run the permit. It was a mistake in hindsight because I think we could have.
It sounds like you had plenty of time when you submitted. Why did it take that long?
I don't have a good answer.
It's typical for the contractor to hold it.
Yeah, totally. This would be part of the permit. So, and we've navigated a more stringent process in the past. We needed a low impact permit for this project. We needed a conditional use permit for the cement park tank, for example, which is more stringent.
Yeah.
And I ran that permit and it took 3 months and was involved, but not fair. And it didn't seem like too big of a lift for a contractor to carry that effort. We wrote the contract docs like that, but I just, moving forward, we'll handle all the planning permits and apps. Just to avoid this situation.
It was not good.
Is this a conversation you can have with the county?
Already did.
Didn't have any options.
So, not really. I mean, we're hoping when our next project gets submitted, we can go to one or two specific planners that are really good and understand what we do. But when you're treated like a garage addition or, you know, some other thing, there's no urgency. They don't understand the criticality of water infrastructure. It's up on a ski run, you know, in order to identify where they called it Willow Draw Road. And that created havoc that, well, if it's on a road, you got to be this far back and this part this and this part that. It was just, and so Sam and I met with the county manager. We expressed our grievance. He came back. And then it was a he said, she said. We decided just to move on. We got our approval from the administrative law judge. We don't want it to come back at some other point where something else gets.
So it sounds like a good lesson.
I mean, I run into it with the building department, not even the planning of the building, when I go to pull permits for all the electrical stuff we do, because all of our buildings are these weird addresses. They don't show up in their records, and I'm trying to explain to them up front, like, you're not going to find it in your records. You need to go here to find it, and this is where the address is, and your GIS guy gave us the address. So, I mean, it's not just the planning department, it's the building department, it's engineering, it's universal.
That's costing us dollars, but I guess it's our own dollars. It's county dollars.
There's no preferential treatment for being a stepsister.
And Shane didn't.
He tried to move it forward, but then it just came back, and it's like...
Okay. Sorry.
No.
Don't mean to belabor it.
No, it's good.
Yeah, not going to happen again. So that's the tank update. Good news, bad news on the full Grand 12. Ian already alluded to it. The well construction went great, and we had again, the bidding process couldn't have gone better. We got a great well driller, and I think they were a perfect fit. Land drilling. Got to the targeted limestone formation, and well construction turned out nice. And during pump testing, the well was more productive than anyone really anticipating, which again is a positive thing. Yeah, during development, we pumped up to 600 gallons a minute.
What were we expecting? We have, hoping for 200.
Right? Yeah.
But that would have been, like, awesome.
Anecdotally.
So 600.
Yes. Anecdotally, the neighboring well that previously fed the colony operated around 300 GPM, according to Brian. Yeah, so that was, like, maybe our, like, nice ceiling. The well pumped at 600, and... the drawdown was nowhere near the top of the screen intervals. The screen interval started 500 feet below the ground surface.
So, I mean, we could push the wall really hard, potentially. Not that that's a right or wrong thing to do. So anyways, that's great. Everything worked out great.
And you did the step test then, the 24-hour?
Yeah, so we did a step test from 1 to 600, or 1 to 700 GPM.
Okay.
No, actually, the step test was 1 to 6. We stopped at putting max development out, which is essentially the limits of the test model we had. We weren't anticipating to go that high.
Yeah.
New source. Chems came back really good. During development, however, the Quarry Mountain HOA, or customers, Mountain Regional, they have their own secondary irrigation system, which is unique in the district, reached out to a third-party hydrogeologist that got a hold of Bill Laughlin, that their spring was not flowing as expected, that filled some other ponds in there. So we're working through that issue. But it is possible that the well creates interference with this spring.
Where's that spring?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So,
in the trees?
Yeah, it's right. It's right in here.
Yeah, that building. I guess it's
sure the right spring. That's because, yeah, and then the well. Right there. Yeah, so
branch growth.
So here's where the well is.
Let's see the dog pond.
And here's their spring.
So overall, I think things have been going fairly well with the HOA. They've been civil, but they're well organized. They work with a qualified water rights attorney. They have a good hydrogeologist. They're contracted with us. Not that we'd ever try and take advantage of somebody, but they're not going to be taken advantage of in either case. So. We're working through that issue, and I think obviously given the nature of water resources right now in the basin, I think it would be more pronounced. I think maybe not such a full-on drought year. Maybe the interference might not even show up. We don't know. So it's a good year, at least, from a planning perspective, I guess, if you're trying to look on the bright side. But more to come on that. We'll try and quantify what and if that interference looks like operating well with the HOA.
And spring came back after you dewatered it to its original flows.
Yeah, they have really limited data, which...
Well, at least it was flowing again afterwards, because sometimes you'll with an interference like that on the spring source, once you turn it off, it perturbs the preferential flow path.
Interesting.
And the flows don't come back, and that's ugly.
Okay.
So this is kind of best case for a worst case, if she says.
That's good feedback. Yeah, but I wish they had better data sets. That's the one thing I don't think they've been forthcoming. We've been completely transparent. We've shared all our development data with them on their hydrogeologists, whatever they ask for. They have not done so in return. But I'm hopeful they will collect good data over the summer now that no longer pumping the well.
So they have no flow monitoring there?
No, none whatsoever. No,
never have?
Very, very limited.
They've
inches under the door.
They right now fall out of the ground. So
looking good.
Yeah. They put a temporary flume out during our I'll try and wrap it up.
This is fun.
Yeah.
I had questions.
So we got this contact happened after development, but prior to our 24-hour test. So you develop the well, try and remove all the drilling fluid from the tapenade construction, etc. You have a step test, like Ian alluded to. That's a different flow rates that allows you to kind of hone in on what you think is a good target for the well production. And then you perform a 24-hour test at that production. And in between the step test and the 24-hour test as well, it's came to light. And the HOA was, alarmed, as they should, justifiably so. So they request we delay our 24-hour test. And we did for a few weeks until they were able to bring a hydrogeologist on board, etc. So during that time, they got a single data point with a temporary flume before the test. And then after the test started, was removed, put back. They got two more data points.
and I believe a fourth. So that's the extent of the areas that I'm aware of.
Did it dewater during the 24 hour?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like a qualitative kind of assessment on what the spring flow looks like, I suppose.
Is it the well? Is it a drought? Are they overusing it?
What is it? That's what they
spring. It's a spring flow.
Yeah, there's no measuring at all.
That's their liability.
Okay. So this is learning experience for us on the legal side. But we've got great legal counsel. Not worried about that. And then moving forward, we're going to move forward and equip the well. So we're working on the design. So that's exciting. And then I think we're going to do the construction, actually do the well equipping in-house. Our ops folks want to try to handle it, which is a really cool idea, fun project.
We're going to equip it for the max?
I'd like to, we're going to select a pump based on that ceiling and then using a variable frequency drive.
VFD.
Yeah. I'd like to see what the flow range is. I'll make a decision because I'd
like to
have
to go lower.
Yeah.
Smart.
Just like to have as much flexibility as possible. So we may end up lowering from that ceiling if it buys us more range. So we're not quite there yet.
Okay.
Close. Yeah, I like the well equipment part. Legal challenge part.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It could get interesting. Yeah.
So that's the well project. We're still planning on doing work on the lake well after decluing like we planned. And we wrapped up all the
Where's
work.
The lake well?
On that peninsula, it kind of sticks out between two lakes. Silver Springs.
Silver Springs, Big White?
Yeah, it's in Silver Springs.
By the highway, closer to the highway.
Oh, there's like a bulk.
Yeah.
We get a bulk
kind of
the
built
side.
Yeah. Anything else? Oh, it's our project. Again, trying to do whatever we can on the source development side. Atkins well 2 is productive well, but it has water quality issues. Excuse me. And again, in our in-house props folks, equip the pump house so that we can inject treated surface water into the well during non-peak or irrigation seasons. So as far as steps for doing our pilot study on seeing if it's an effective strategy, we've got our underground injection permit with Division of Water Quality. We've got a verbal approval with Division of Drinking Water, and we're still waiting for the review from the Division of Water Rights, which we submitted in July of last year. So it's been coming 13 months for them to review it. But
after, is there a deadline? There?
No.
Another phone call?
Yeah, they return it.
We're trying.
Try to find friends of friends.
Yeah. I think we're still going to try and target this off-season to hopefully start the pilot. I think that's realistic, even with the water rates not making a priority. And, now we've got the actual physical structure in place, which is really cool. And that's mostly, I'd say, 95% of the way there. So I'm looking forward to that. That could be a good project. That's the recap, I guess. Yeah, overall, honestly, kind of bumpier than years past. But I think we've at least got path forward.
It's a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, no, it's for sure the most ambitious year since I've worked here.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So maybe we fell short a little bit, but shot high.
Yeah, it's great.
That's all I got.
Okay, Lisa, do you have a drought update for us?
Yeah. So I included the drought monitor that came out last Thursday. The one that came out today is not much different than the one. And I included the reservoir fill as of this morning. So So the statewide average is at 52% right now. That is 15% lower than normal and 18% lower than this time last year. You can see a lot of the red in the reservoirs to the south. We have had an interesting July with, you know, the second hottest July on record. I believe in Salt Lake hit its highest peak at 109, I believe they set a record. But we have had these monsoon rains. I think they've been very localized. Park City had a large rain event, and I think one of the largest ever recorded on their library monitor, 2.5 inches since 1993. That was the last reading. But and Uintas also, some of their monitors also had some of the largest precipitation events they've seen, but then other areas were dry. I think a lot of the original monsoon was happening in the back, but it wasn't hitting the front. So it, again, really localized. So I drilled down a little bit on the reservoirs around here. It's, I don't know, it's a little bit scary, I guess. The green line is current year, so that's Echo Reservoir sitting down at 34%. Rockport Reservoir is down at 55%. As you can see, significantly lower than last year, which is the blue line, and the orange line is the median. So the Weber Basin drainage, definitely. The lower basins anyway, this is Smith-Morehouse, that is more of a normal pattern. And then I did show East Canyon just to see where that was at. That one also looks like Rockport and Echo. Just a little bit of a gut check, I think, looking at those. I also just added an average precipitation in the Weber River Basin just to kind of see where we are compared to prior years. You can see that's by month, the different colors there. So we started out with a bang, that really wet October, which kind of had the precip in the soil, which we thought would be great for snowpack runoff, which really the precipitation came in more of a form of rain than it did snow this year. And you will see there's a July and they've got a little bit of August, but I was just thinking July would have been bigger. But again, I think because some of those storms are so localized, it's not necessarily reading much bigger in those summer months. If you go to the net, I guess that's all I had. What did I say? The wildfire activity, you know, has obviously been a concern as well. We've had the local one here locally. We drove down south and saw some of the burn scars from the original fire that started and what happened across the 15. We were driving down south just when that went through. So there is some concern with the El Nino that's setting up, of what that might do precipitation-wise on some of these burn scars that we have, water quality, water infrastructure, source protection, et cetera. So that is all on the radar. People are looking at that. So we'll just see how the winter sets up.
Does this say that the D3 to D4 has gone down a fair amount, like 60% of the state down to 35%?
D3, D4 is where are you seeing the 65?
59.58, like 3 months ago.
Oh, 3 months ago, 59.58. Yeah, and that's with some of the monsoons that we've had. But this is a week old, so the one from this week looks very similar to this one that you're looking at right now.
That's kind of good news that there's not nearly as much in the D3, D4. Is that how you read that?
Well, if you look at...
Well, yeah, this is, 3 months ago, so May 12th, so the end of winter, beginning of the summer, we were at 60%.
But the state was in that category.
Conditions.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now 35.
Yeah.
So it's
come down.
Yeah, the red has gotten a lot smaller.
Yeah. Still a third of the state, though.
And all of it's in D, yeah, everything. 93 essentially has been in D2, D1.
Okay, thank you.
Took me a moment to get my head around the way they've got them arranged, the way it's presented.
All of it's in.
Like the first, the yellow column is everything. It's always given 1%, which is why I've been showing.
Well, but here's a comparison. 1 year ago, it said only 10% was in between D3, D4, 11%, and now we're 34.
Improvement, but it's still pretty bad.
Much worse.
Worse than last year, but not as bad as earlier this year. Mm-hmm.
All I had. Okay. Thanks, Lisa.
Yeah,
sure.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay, and then we are considering and a possible approval of the interlocal cooperation agreement for cannabis services.
At the end of this year, our current agreement for legal services with the county will expire. Currently, the agreement that we have is a fixed cost. There is no hourly charge. The county has moved away from that type of interlocal agreement, and the proposed agreement is to charge the district $370 an hour for legal fees. At $45,000 a year, that would give us approximately 10 hours a month. And that would be for Dave's time. There is a cost.
That way he's not here.
Yeah. We said, you can't come. No. There is a cost of living adjustment annually. Baked into this, so this is the base rate. Dave's time frame working for the county is about 3 more years. He has not been able to find a junior replacement. I guess the rate stays the same when we get a new person. But all of the county, all the special service districts are moving to this. It is a 7-year agreement to line all the special service districts for renewal at the same time. So the request is to approve this interlocal agreement effective January 1st, 2027.
So moved.
And are there options?
By code, there is not. The county attorney has to provide legal services. Yeah. We can go out and get our own attorney. However, they have to approve it.
Okay.
So there aren't many. And it's, I know we're on the record, but it's also interesting that this is prepared by they who receives benefit of.
Sure.
So.
Do you have any concerns with the agreement as it's written?
No, we'll just have to, just keep an eye on time. Originally, I thought we were going to build in 6-minute increments. The document doesn't say that. The good news is we haven't used Dave a lot lately. He does come to staff meetings. He does come to this meeting. I'm not sure that that's really going to change much. But as we get through the year, if we're running up against the budget, we may just have to adjust that.
I think it's really valuable to have Dave.
It is.
Yeah. If it switches to a junior at some point, we might need to reassess. But
no, his institutional knowledge.
Person, yeah, yeah, no concerns.
Do we have a second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's unanimous.
Thanks. Print this out. You sign it.
Okay, now we have consideration and possible approval of a line extension agreement at 4865 North, 400 West in Park City.
Nathan Ruth Wright, who was annexed into the system, is asking approval of the Administrative Control Board to enter into a line extension agreement to help offset the cost of approximately 1,000 feet of pipe that he needs to install in order to connect to the system. There are a couple of other parcels that are not annexed into the district that there may be interest for those people to annex in and to connect. Our current rules and regulations say the Administrative Control Board can approve this for a maximum term of 5 years. Mr. Wright has come back after I submitted this in the packet and is asking for reimbursement once he hits 50% or $87,500, then the line extension agreement would go away. but he's also asking for a 10-year period.
10 years to construct it?
10 years to seek reimbursement.
Can you go over the mechanics of that? So does he 10 years install it?
Yes, he is installing it. This line only will benefit him, but if anyone else wants to receive the benefit of his investment, he's asking to get reimbursed.
From that party?
From anyone else that may connect before his property.
So they pay him?
They would pay him.
Why are we involved?
Why he didn't go to his neighbors and say, hey, do you want to chip in? I don't know, but our rules allow it. He asked for it. I'm bringing it forth. I know previously when the district has entered into these agreements, they haven't always been clean. But so, this is a straightforward. I wouldn't do it more than the 5 years, but.
Well, our rules and regs currently only say we can do it up to 5 years.
I'm going to try to answer Mike's question with, but it's probably going to come up as a question because I don't think it got answered. effectively, he enters into an agreement with us, and then we become the enforcement agency to make sure he gets reimbursed if any of his neighbors connect on, because we would own that line, not him.
Correct.
And I think the money actually flows through us, and then we have a certain, well, at least what I've seen before, that we have a certain period of time to reimburse that person. 90%.
And
so we effectively act as some sort of a referee, maybe an escrow fund, something thereabouts.
And the other control that we have is the parcels that are not annexed.
We're the ones that annex
them. So we do have some control as a condition of annexation. They would
pay the guy. Kind of
thing. They would pay him.
Are they privy to... Is the line extension agreement a public document, but they know that it exists?
Yes.
So if any of them are sitting there going, like, do we or don't we, they would presumably wish to wait out the five-year period.
Correct. Our understanding is the fire department is requiring a lot of these lots to put in fire suppression if they build, or a private fire hydrant, which would necessitate this.
Are they not all built out?
No.
Heat tour.
Oh.
Yeah, Heat tour or is doing a large remodel addition. Most of it's new kind of.
So the orange lots already.
Orange are annexed.
Yeah, so the orange parcels on this map are annexed. So this lot down here, and this one, I believe, are annexed.
And the square rectangular gray things are built homes?
It's old. It's Esri image stuff. It's not like it's 100% if I turn on.
But they're all
did
built already.
He is annexed and wants to connect to us to get water.
Yeah, but to Corey's point.
But all those
are already built. They can just sit there and use the water they're getting for 5 years and then connect to our line. And they would have to pay impact fees at that time. But they wouldn't have to pay his fee. Because his fee doesn't forego impact fees. Have to pay both.
Yeah.
He's acting as the developer. It goes to our normal development process. It's main line that we own. So it's our normal development. We'd be asking as the developer. So if anybody else comes on, they'd be in impact fees. He's just running the cost with this map.
So he's going to pay for construction on the line.
$175,000
approximately. So within 5 years, he's hoping we will help enforce new connections to reimburse him.
Correct.
Marshall? Okay.
How does he know what each connection costs?
He's just looking for the first person to connect on to pay 50% of the cost. That is the original. So this, Dave would have to help us craft a document. And once he gets half of it back, he's done. That's what he's willing to do.
He only wants half.
Oh, so he only wants half. One guy to connect.
Yeah.
One guy has to pay for half the line that like six lots get connected to?
Yeah.
What if we say no?
then that's it.
Then he has to pay for the whole thing. There's no line extension agreement.
And I will tell you, there was the person that put the line in up to this point did not have a line extension agreement. He caught wind that Mr. Wright is looking for a line extension agreement, and he's saying, what about me? We never entered into anything. He put the line in. We own the line.
How long's it been there?
6 or 8 years?
More than 10.
So it's a moot point.
2013.
That is a hypothetically moot point.
Yeah, because it's past the 5 years, and we didn't have
a agreement. If he wants to take it to a civil suit with the county and his neighbor, we're not part of that.
But now that we're paying Dave's time by the hour, do we need him to write this up? It sounds like a headache for us.
We can still get it done before the end of the year. It's under the contract. Then we go to our... But that
would go special.
That could be part of the agreement if you decide to approve it, that they pay for legal. I mean, this is wide open.
Yeah, so here's my question. Legal terms notwithstanding, we're not at risk for anything here. It is, he's going to front $175,000. He's going to cross his fingers and hope that one of his neighbors is going to pay him back 90 of it. And we're just the referee.
If we decide to agree to this, we'd be on the hook for that 5-year period.
But we would be on the hook to be the referee, not to provide any dollars.
But it creates a case where potentially we're going to get grievances, and granted it was 2013, it sounds like that guy's already teed up to complain and put the first line in. And then any of those other lots, like when they connect, it's free.
So the I want to say it's 8713. I believe it's this lot was the first one to connect. He extended the line up.
Yep.
This guy has since connected, and he didn't say anything about it.
It's the road.
And then this guy is now connecting. So these other two lots are already benefiting.
It's this thin lane asphalt road.
It's extension asphalt. Years ago.
It's like a private road.
So if one of the neighbors, so he built it, neighbors want to connect to it, and says, no, it's my line.
No,
it's ours.
Yeah. But we have to. They can't connect unless they pay that 50% the first one.
Only if you approve it.
And then if a third lot sends in,
the amount's free.
Do the first two payees, do they get a reimbursement from the third guy if it's within the 5-year period?
No, it's as long as he gets 50%.
But is he asking just one guy to pay 50%?
Yeah.
Or as long as he gets 50% out of care.
My proposal is the first additional property owner who connects a service lateral directly to this new section of the water line reimburse me for 50% of the final documented district approved extension cost, which he's pegging at
$87,500. If he's asking for a 10-year period, that seems to be a really weird ask.
It's not an RX. I would be uncomfortable with that right off.
I'm kind of uncomfortable with it overall.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with it overall, and it seems like if he wants to get somebody to split the cost, he should reach out to his neighbors.
Let him do it and not involve our legal teams. And something that you have to worry about and carry on the books and then be an enforcement mechanism.
It is our policy that we offer this?
Correct.
At our discretion.
At the board's discretion.
Yes, at the board's definite discretion. And have we done this anywhere else?
It hasn't been done
more than 10 years ago.
More than 10 years ago, we allowed an extension agreement where somebody else got half back.
It became very messy.
It wasn't.
And I was not there when it happened, but from what I understand, when I have been here, Andy Armstrong and Scott Morrison, former journal managers, did not want to participate in it because they had difficulty.
And was that a new development or existing?
It was in the
next street.
Yeah, it was the next block.
Okay.
Seems weird than an existing one. Because it was, the deal was more complicated. It was multiple. Because the one seems pretty easy. You know, but if you're asking for.
And I wasn't involved in the discussions or negotiations at that.
But he's really only asking for $40,000.
$87,500.
So A7 is half. That's what he wants to get back.
The old one that was entered into deferred impact fees for 7 years. then each owner was required to pay a connection fee and buy a radio read unit. It was more very complicated. This one would be more cut and dry, but it is up to you whether or not you want to approve it.
I just feel if you're going to write a contract like this, write a term to it, a number of years. Don't write a number of participants, because if you write a number of participants, it almost makes me feel like he knows that one of his neighbors is going to have to connect in the near future, and he's trying to target it. More reason not to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yep.
No,
But if he said if anybody connects in the next 5 years, I want it split equally, and the district all of a sudden has to kind of play these, you know, this cash escrow company games, which honestly is not hard math, but that would seem to me to be him just throwing it out there, going, if anybody wants to connect, they all pay an equal amount, and everybody goes home okay. If he wants to cancel the deal after one person, that just, it seems strange. I just feel like we're walking into a trap.
You're going to get more fish to bite if you do it the way you're talking about, where it's an open-ended period, he gets paid back at the end of that period from whoever has connected, right?
Like, well, and it just makes me feel like we're walking into some sort of a trap where he knows that one of his neighbors is getting ready to knock his house down, and he just wants him to front the bill for half of it.
He wants to split it.
And he's going to try to force his neighbor into splitting.
The property is not in the district.
His property is in it.
The ones that aren't, are they unwell? Individual
wells? Yes.
Okay.
Somebody said something about the fire department starting to require these guys.
Yes, he's got
it's getting very, very difficult to get insurance. And now there's new insurance requirements that they'll come out and evaluate your property if you're in one of these red zones.
If you're in the wooey.
Yeah, if you're in the
wooey. And if they only are on a well, they may not be able to get insurance because they can't guarantee
fire. Right.
Yes, the existing fire hydrant that's south of his parcel is not close enough for the fire district. So his part of his plans, he's got a hydrant on that line adjacent to his property.
So he may know that somebody's going to be needing to connect because of insurance or fire departments.
Right.
Yeah.
It sounds like the insurance companies aren't going to kick anybody out of bed if they're already with them. But let's say one of those properties sells and they have a new owner, the new owner is going to not be able to get insurance.
It's going to be hard. We've had neighbors already kicked out of bed.
Yeah, we're running into that up at Promontory.
Yeah, some of our bunch of people have lost insurance. Insurance occupied.
He should start knocking on doors and be like, let's all pitch in and pay for this line.
Somebody from, I want to say it's this corner lot up here. This road does not go through, it becomes a trail.
Yeah, it's from, a gate. There's a,
yeah, so mm-hmm. The road does not go through. There's a person in this subdivision that was talking about the possibility of connecting as well, but they were thinking we served that street.
Yeah, that's so.
That's 5200 or something.
Yeah, 5200 north. Yeah.
Who serves that?
Summit. Comes out of the back of Ranch Place.
So this is an action item.
Would anyone like to make a motion?
No motion, we do not approve it.
Do we have a second?
Second that.
Okay, so.
Real quick, can I just ask a procedural question? Did they have the opportunity to come back to us and kind of amend this? Or?
My guess is if it's no, then it's no. I think the negotiation is if it's yes.
Even if you restructured it, I'm...
Right. I think he has every opportunity to go to his neighbors and see who would like to participate.
It's cleaner. It's added burden in our district.
So there's three, so that's no.
Okay. So all not in favor.
Aye.
Okay, that's unanimous.
Thanks.
Great.
Yeah, just as one more data point, he was doing the annexation. We explained to him up front. He was going to have to install the lot. So yeah. He's known about this for a year now.
Yep.
So.
Good on him, though. Like,
yeah.
Reading our regs.
Yeah.
Full credit.
Totally.
Okay. General manager comments.
Nope. Annexation.
One more thing.
Oh, there's another annexation?
One more annexation.
Yeah.
This is the parcel along Rasmussen Road where Summit Water has both the storage well and the church well. It is in between the storage units further down near the car dealers. RV park and the car dealers right there. Vince Crisioni is looking to annex. I think you've probably seen this in the newspaper and on KPCW to replicate Lincoln Station, more or less, commercial and apartments. He is asking to annex into the district so we can serve them.
Can we serve them?
We have a pipe that's across the street on Rasmussen.
Between the interstate fence and the pipe.
Roger was saying on the radio this morning that the Lincoln Station is one of the most successful.
Where is that?
I think it's
right next to the fire station. By Bittner.
Right by Canyon Creek.
Is it
on the lower level. It's office space is what it basically is. Four spaces.
Are they currently served by Summit Water, or they simply have Summit Water resources on the property?
There are Summit Water resources on the property. When the church sold this land, it did not come with Summit Water shares.
So they currently do not have a water provider?
Correct.
Okay. But they're in Summit's
district. They could if they
bought shares. Are there any shares for sale right now?
Don't know.
This is the Lincoln Station project. So these are townhomes here, covered parking. These are four apartment buildings, and there's residential above, commercial in the bottom of this, and our PRV is in the building.
I guess I never realized there was commercial down there. I thought it was just their leasing office.
No, there's a construction office and a couple of other things.
Where's the fire station?
Right here. Just want to zoom out a little more.
Just north of Swan.
Okay. Yeah, this is
like that.
This is that old brewery. His proposal is for considerably more commercial in the new project than what he's got in this one. And he's talking about phasing it. So it's
more. Yeah, he's going to have high density residential on the south side, kind of that field. Right now, it's the utility company's staging lot for the.
Oh, yeah.
Post power line.
That's
all right in here.
And then we got permission to do that. And then on the north side, he's going to have kind of small commercial neighborhood thing going on.
That's the opposite of what I heard. This is all the high density stuff in here. The commercial's in phase two, which is this stuff.
Site plan accident, but okay.
What's the impact of the district as far as water demand and water?
It sits on our Atkinson zone. So
that's
it's
a deliverable. What about water rights and our capacity?
They're not in the master plan. So it's outside of any planning we've done, and as far as providing a demand study, they've not provided.
We don't know what the demand
is. No, we could do our own takeoff, but they didn't provide them as part of the annexation.
And see, that seems to be part of it. This one lot, we were like, okay, we can fit 1, 2, 3, 4. But where we don't have any idea of what we're saying yes to.
Support. So the current process, not that it couldn't be approved here, but it is. It gets annexed. They submit plans. We approve them. We enter into agreements. Part of the water service agreement are those planning phases. But that happens after the board. So you have to do their annex.
But we're also getting to the same situation with this one that we did with some of the other ones, where ultimately what he's after is a will serve letter to be able to get through the planning process to start that. He needs to be annexed into the district to get that first step into his, to, so that when he goes and submits to the county, he has the will serve for the plan.
Has he asked Summit for a will serve letter yet?
He doesn't want to, according to him.
If we annex him in, does that de-annex him from Summit Water?
You could be both.
They're not a boundary.
But if we annex him in, is it kind of a, it's not a promise, but it's almost like a guarantee, not a guarantee, but it's like, hey, yeah, we will serve you if we annex him.
We've never really not served.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So once we've annexed, then we've always served. Okay.
And do we know what, so do we have more information on how many units and what's commercial? And
he gave us some ballparks on it. I'm trying to find it.
Proper dimensions.
Yeah, he doesn't have he gave us some unit numbers, but it's all contingent on what the county approved to. So it's his wish. It's not, he hasn't gone through that part of the process yet.
So going back to last meeting, where the comment came up, not wanting to be the first one to call for regionalization, Andy. Why would we move ahead with this? It lessens the burden on Summit. It puts us closer to that, having to go to the table and ask for regionalization.
That is a fair question. Because in my manager's comments, I'm going to bring something else up.
Okay, so I think your question is alluding a lot to the outlets, kind of their situation that they're in.
I wasn't tying those together, but we're in a similar spot.
But where they already have infrastructure in the ground and are a paying customer of Summit Water, I think that is a big distinction compared to this. We have infrastructure across the street.
The other one was going to have to go across the highway, right? I mean, you all seemed very concerned about going across the interstate.
I don't think that there is an infrastructure concern here. I don't think that there is that concern of, they've got two water suppliers with equipment in the ground in the same parcel. Those are very kind of distinct differences to me. Totally agreed, but I think it still puts us closer to having to ask for regionalization, of course.
The KPCW article says it'll have 160 units, obviously.
30 condos, 60 affordable condos.
It's not a big parcel, especially what you can build on, depending with the creek setback and stuff. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
It's a big piece of property. Yeah, that what's currently a parking lot there. That laid down. You could take it right.
He's got stream setbacks. He's got street setbacks. He also has source protection zones around Summit's wells.
Yeah,
the stream setback will be like that.
What they're saying it could be.
It's 23 acres, but
it's 1,600 feet. Roughly 1,600 feet.
Have we annexed it? To me, it seems like we need more information, what the actual use would be, right? I mean, have we annexed before not knowing that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But for smaller.
Right, because that's, I'm thinking about back to our charter, really to set up to help these failing water companies, primary, and then, these small lots that were, we brought those in one at a time, we can do that. But these bigger parcels coming in, feel different.
Yeah. Didn't we just have a drought presentation?
I mean, I can see why it would appeal to the county because, you are on a road that probably can be served by a bus line. It's certainly less controversial than what they're building up in Park City or, this. And they would still have to go through the whole process.
Would it be helpful to table this and go into executive session? Right. So we know the whole.
You have to have.
Do we want to table it and go to general manager comments first?
Executive session for legal personnel.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said we were going.
No, we're not going to an executive session, but I have something else to bring to you in manager comments. We can't go into executive session to discuss this.
No, I didn't. I was
mistaken. But.
There'll be another one of these down the street, too.
This is not going to be the last request we get to provide water to other water providers' surface area. And then I'll leave it at that.
Is there a timeline that obviously that you know one party would want to know sooner than later, but is this something we can table until we get more information? Is that not even worth it?
You know, that's really an interesting question. I don't know because I don't know if we've ever asked for more information on the annexation before.
But they've been single box. You know,
but
the impact is.
Yeah, like I'm going to start building this year or something.
Yeah. Gauge that impact. It's it's like, what does it mean? It's really.
And one of the things the county is really stopping people from bringing projects forward is if they don't have that water will serve letter, they won't hear it. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, I think the county's trying to simplify the we like this project or we don't like this project by some of the other things they're doing, but they haven't done that with the will serve. And I think the Klein Dolly parcel, what Tony Tyler is trying to do is, if you're really okay with this, then I'll spend the money to get my plans and everything done. If you're not going to do it, I'm not going to waste my time or my money. But I mean, I don't know how far Vince is along with this, but certainly if you want to table it, we can ask for more information.
So I know that this is not taking aside, it's just comments Vince has made, is that a lot of his stuff is tied to HUD funding for some of this stuff. So he's trying to move along as fast as he can because he wants to be able to break ground next year. That's what he's verbally said to us. So
would he move ahead with Summit if we did not annex? Or to shut the thing down? Any idea?
I have no idea.
Based on what we saw with Junction Commons last year, moving ahead with Summit is not something that you can just decide to do. They have limited water shares available for sale, if any. What determines that water share is for sale and what isn't doesn't is kind of a crystal ball or cloud or whatever. It's just, you know, if you were to tell him, oh, go talk to Summit Water, they'll help you out. There's no way for us to know if that's even possible.
If there's more of these coming, I would support Phil's kind of suggestion of tabling this and potentially having a strategy session to talk about all these collectively. And this is a second, you know, to your point, this is kind of the second one that's kind of come up where we're having similar discussions. Because I'm more and more concerned about regionalization. So, I guess I'd make a motion to table this purposeful discussion at some point on the strategy associated with parcels like this. So not even ask for more information, just straight up table it and wait till the board has a better idea about strategy.
Jim, do you have this, man? Yeah. Also, I quickly looked at Lincoln Station. Tangent. They have 77 connections, I'm showing. And they have like a 10 GPM demand. Okay, which is so low, it makes me think that I'm here. But I think the type of development is water efficient. When we'll get the demand number, there'll be low numbers. Probably not that low.
You know, it's built to Cardinals.
Yeah, and we had this conversation several months ago too.
Cardinals analogy.
When you're doing that more and more in high density housing, there's really not a lot of landscaping to worry about.
all in terms.
You know, it's predictable. It's low, yeah. Low usage.
Right. The GPM are under peak day low.
You know, if somebody brings a golf course to us and wants to annex a golf course, then it's a different conversation.
Right. This is something that we sort of allowed. It would be.
So there's a motion.
Was there a second? Sorry.
No, there wasn't.
So there's a motion to table it indefinitely until we can get more information about what other projects might be coming.
You know, until we as a board can come up with a strategy of how we're going to deal with these moving forward. It sounds like there's multiple
coming. Yeah, understand what we're dealing with.
And how to address these, like, second, third time it comes up, like have criteria or something or things.
Right. How does it fit the charter? Mm-hmm. You know, there's an important community park. You can support one or two walks. This is an order of magnitude. These feel a whole lot different. And I don't know that it fits into our plan, our strategic plan.
Yeah, I'd like to see a lot more internally. I'm not comfortable right now.
Yeah,
not really.
Okay, so the motion is to table it until we have more of an understanding until we have a strategy on how we are going to address projects like this going forward. Projects being annexed.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Okay, that's unanimous. So that's
who made the motion to start with?
That was
Ian. I'm just helping Ann out.
Passes down.
This is not an action item for today. Lake Brockport has come to the district to ask for a wholesale connection. They are going to be on our agenda in September. We have been working with Lake Brockport for 4 years. So what I'm asking for you is this is what they sent me yesterday. I would like each of you individually, not collectively, to send me questions that I will then put together to have them respond when they come to our meeting in September.
So Lake Rockport Estates is this side of Promontory towards Rockport?
That side between Rockport side and Promontory.
Okay. So going down Brown's stuff on the left?
No.
Which one?
32.
Yeah, hang on one second, I'll pull it up. I'll show you.
That ass.
It is, when you're driving along Rockport, there's like a big sliding gate by one of the beach areas. Oh. No, along Rockport reservoir itself.
Does it connect all the way over to 80?
No.
Hey, Andy, you just explain in your words what a wholesale culinary water connection would mean?
So it would mean pumping water up from Lake Brockport up into Promontory, treating the water, and then sending the water back down into a connection. It would be an interruptible source of water. It would be at a wholesale water rate. So it would be
to a single customer.
To a single customer, which would be Lake Brockport Estates.
Mm-hmm. Base it there.
To their tank, to that, all of that has not been fleshed out yet. We kind of have an idea. In this instance, we require easements through the non-platted area of Promontory, which has not been secured yet. We believe we have a right to use the PUE through Promontory. And that could be a challenge. Public utility easement. Sorry, acronym.
But it would be a single customer. It would not be.
It would be a single customer.
Our employees don't have to go under the internet number.
There would be conditions that with that, that they would have to have a certified water operator. I mean, there's all kinds of